William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Adam Bingen, Derek Mason. And before we get to our guest, I just want to point this out on our text line. Chuck, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says he doesn't know about this Titans new head coach now because he said he grew up a Blackhawks fan. And maybe he still likes them. That's not sitting well with the Preds fan that I am. We need to get this man in a Preds jersey at a Preds game ASAP. That from Chuck on our text line.
Just because you get him in a Preds jersey, which I think you should.
It will happen. I'm almost certain it will happen.
Just because you get him in a Preds jersey doesn't mean he's going to stop being a Blackhawk fan.
He'll have like the Blackhawk shirt underneath the Predators jersey.
Yeah, it seems
jersey.
Like Blackhawks run in his blood. Like, it's deep in his core.
Well, according to Chuck, he needs to get that figured out. But waiting on our phone. He's not actually on our phone line. He's joining us from his studio. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan Hutton joins us here now on Willie and D-Mace. Hutton, at the beginning of the show, Derek and I were talking about this stat from ESPN Bet, which I'm sure you've been made aware of. Quarterbacks drafted number one overall are 0-14-1 in their first start since 2002. It has been 22 years since a quarterback drafted number one overall won his first career start. That was David Carr. That's how far back you have to go since a quarterback drafted number one overall ended up with a win in his first career start. So based on what the Bears were able to do this offseason, adding Keenan Allen, drafting Roman Dunze, they have DJ Moore, and the fact that the Bears weren't bad enough to get that number one pick on their own, they got it from Carolina. Do you feel like the Bears are better positioned, and Caleb Williams specifically, to break that streak that dates back to 2002?
Yeah, I mean, it was 0-14-1, so there was a tie. They didn't even get a win, did they?
Kyler Murray had a tie in his first career start for the Cardinals against the Lions.
So, I think it shows the importance. If you're going to play these guys, play them early in the season. That's number one. Look, the Bears are, you know, this has a feel. It's not exactly the same hype, but it has a feeling of 2018 in Cleveland, week one, where, you know, you got Baker Mayfield, everybody's back. There's all this hype. Hugh Jackson is there. There's a ton of chatter. And, well, the Titans went on the road as the underdog and won the game by just being the more physical, dominant football team. I think the Bears are pretty good on paper. I mean, you got to handle the off-schedule plays of Caleb Williams. That's number one because he's a lot of it's going to be out on the edge and he's going to make something happen because he's a playmaker. He's going to be throwing to a superb receiving core. That's a trio that will test this Titans secondary from the jump. I can't wait to watch those matchups, one-on-one on the outside. And then, look, up front for the Titans offensive line, it's a defensive front for Chicago that is boosted by one of the top secondaries in the NFL. And then they're going to move around a lot up front. So communication is going to be key on the road with Will Levis and his offensive line and with Cushion Berry as his center. It's more to me about the execution of this Titans offense that we have seen some but not a ton of, and a defense that hasn't been on the field together, at least from what the fans have been able to watch, what we've been able to watch at practice. It's more about that coming together than it is a rookie quarterback starting, because Caleb Williams is a very confident player, but this is his first – you know, this is the Broadway debut. This is the premiere showing, and they're unveiling this at Soldier Field. They're going to have a parade leading up to Caleb Williams being their quarterback. They feel like they've got the guy, but the Titans get the guy week one in his first start, and that's the best possible situation you could have if you're Denard Wilson, who's going to bring the heat.
You mentioned the wide receivers that the Bears have at their disposal, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze. Derek and I were talking about L'Jarius Sneed, and I feel like there is so much riding on L'Jarius Sneed this season for the Titans because, as Derek points out, the depth at corner is weak, to say the least. And although Sneed has been a non-participant in training camp, he basically played in every defensive snap for the Chiefs last year. He gave up zero touchdowns in coverage during the regular season. It was pointed out to me earlier that I believe he may have given up one or two during the playoffs, but he gave up zero touchdowns in coverage during the regular season. He's facing a, I would call it a fairly, a murderer's row of receivers to start the season. The Bears group, Garrett Wilson, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. It's a very good mix of receivers that the Titans secondary is going to have to face up into the bye week. I mean, how much do you feel like is riding on L'Jarius Sneed being the player that we have seen him be in terms of the Titans having success this season?
Well, they've paid him and they've evaluated him for the future. They've assessed that he's going to be the player that he was, that he ended his career in Kansas City with, as a true top-end caliber corner. Look, the expectation is for them to hit the ground running. And I would say this has been the plan, by the way, that they weren't going to roll them out very much in camp, if at all. And just throughout the offseason, get to week one. This is a defense that I would say, guys, is extremely aggressive. And they want corners. They're going to battle and win their fair share of those one-on-one battles. So there's not going to be any hesitation to put them on an island. And they're going to lose their fair share of those one-on-one matchups. The corners have it stacked against them. They really do. But that's why you go out and you sign in the top-end talent. And that's also why you see such a significant drop-off on the depth chart, too. They have to hit on these guys. Awuzie, too, by the way. They have to be the linchpins on the outside that allow you to be multiple, that allow you to be flexible and rotate guys in at defensive end, where you don't have a Harold Landry playing opposite Harold Landry. And look, up front too, you need Jeffrey Simmons and T'Vondre Sweat to collapse the center guard triangle. If you do that, you're going to get Caleb Williams off schedule, and you have to beat his one-on-one athleticism with your guys. And they're, I mean, look, as far as the corners go, this is a huge step up in overall production and talent. Now it's just about, are they really healthy? I took the initial 53. Guys, I don't know if you agree. When they kept four corners initially, to me, that's a sign that their top-tier talent is ready to go. Yes, they can bring guys up from the practice squad, but you don't take that risk of just waving a player and getting him back. At least I wouldn't. If I had any doubt that a guy wasn't going to be ready to go week one, I took that as a sign of, okay, they're healthy. This has been the plan. Everything's on schedule. We'll see you in Chicago.
We're talking with Jonathan Hutton. Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. Now, Jonathan, this team, you know, and we scoured the internet over the last week or two trying to find someone that was picking the Tennessee Titans not to win a Super Bowl, because we know that person ain't out there, but to at least find a way into the playoffs. We found one person, well, maybe two.
You found the one.
Yeah, that was a little bit optimistic about the Tennessee Titans. But based on what you've seen in preseason, and still people, I can understand people being skeptical before the Titans even played a preseason game. I get that. But after watching them play a preseason game, why do you think people are still so skeptical of the Tennessee Titans? Is it just the quarterback, or does it have to do with more than the quarterback? Because I think Will Levis, in the few snaps that he played, quarters that he played, he did exactly what Brian Callahan wanted him to do in regards to how to run his offense.
I think it's a couple of things, Mace. Number one, it is the quarterback. I mean, it's a coin flip in this league. And you see Will Levis showing promise. Will Levis now has to go out and show greatness. Doesn't have to be great like Joe Burrow out of the gate, but he does have to show the signs that it's that direction, right, instead of a level off. That's number one. But here's the factors that go into that. I think a lot of people look at this team outside looking in, and they see this offensive line from the last 2 years. And it's not a one offseason overhaul there. They've got a rookie at left tackle that many haven't seen play, and he's moving from right tackle. And then on the right side, they're playing guys that, I mean, honestly, one guy's a depth piece, a good rotational guy in Raidens. And on the outside, Nicholas Petitfrère has barely played in his career, either due to injury or suspension. We haven't really seen him since his rookie year. I think those things factor in. Beyond that, Derrick Henry's not here. And I think that just optics, I think that is just the perception of the team, that they don't have the run game and it's all on Levis. I think they're going to come out and run the football a lot more than what people perception-wise think they will do. Because I think early on, as you're installing offense, as you're stacking things as the season progresses, and you want an offensive line to gel and come together, that's the way to do it, especially if you're working through communication things. Again, we'll see. But I mean, they do have history on their side in this regard. Mm-hmm. 19 of the last 21 seasons, there has been a team that finished last in their division the season prior that then finished first the season, the very next season. Now, I think the easy answer to this year, just on just looking and scanning, would be Cincinnati, right? Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I mean, there are always surprises. There are normally four teams that make the playoffs that didn't make it the year prior. So, I mean, Houston was one of them a year ago. If the Titans get to that point, though, in the playoffs, they're a year ahead of schedule, in my opinion. And I've got them, you know, battling for playoff contention in December. But ultimately, I think they're maybe a game outside looking in, a game or two outside looking in, because I just don't see the NFL caliber depth across the board. Not every position on every team is meets this criteria. But I think the Titans have far too many positions where if they lose a guy here and maybe a guy there, that the drop-off is so significant in consistency that you can't hide your weaknesses anymore.
Now, with that being said, I've played on many teams during the preseason where we just air the ball out. And then people think, things are changing around here. And then you get into the season and it's back to bully ball, running the football. Do you think that will be the case with the Tennessee Titans this year? That we've seen them with their, you know, sort of the exotic sort of play calling in a sense, the formations, you know, the motions, the screen. We've seen all of that in the preseason. And I think fans are delighted to see it, and they're hoping for change.
Oh, yeah.
But then once you get in the season, will he revert back to giving the ball to Pollard and Tajay Spears?
Well, I think they need to lean on them. Mm-hmm. I do. There's been nothing but praise from Callahan on those two. And look, the passing offenses, they use the screen game. I think this team's going to be a pretty good screen team. Mm-hmm. They use the screen game as an outlet of their run game. I think we'll see that. We're going to see them on the field together a bit. And, you know, the third down efficiency too, Mace. I mean, they got to stay on the field in order to push the ball downfield a bit. I would mention that. This is going to be a passing team. I'm eager to watch it because what do we expect? We've never seen anything like this in this city before. The face of the franchise has always been in the backfield. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the top dudes have always been running backs, for the most part. And now it's not. You know, that guy's in Baltimore and they want Levis to be that face. I mean, he is, but the you know, unquestioned face of the franchise moving forward, the franchise player. Okay. Well, to do that, you throw the football. So I think the other key, and Callahan's kind of hinted at this, and he's just been blunt about it too when he took mm-hmm. the job. He wants Levis to not push the ball and force things downfield so much. You know, the average air yards per attempt. Take what the defense gives you and get some positive yards and move forward. You know, take the, if it's second and eight, take the 4-yard pass to the tight end and set up a third and option where you run or pass, you know? Instead of trying to force it 11 yards downfield for an incompletion or a potential, you know, bad play. His favorite pass was a pass that he said that Levis shouldn't take in his offense or attempt. A favorite pass by Levis last year. Point being, we'll see what Callahan and his coaches have done to kind of rein him in a bit and be more patient with the options that are available to him. And I think here's the other thing, too. He's got far more options and reliable, consistent players throughout their careers than what he had to choose from a year ago. I think that all factors in, Mace. And, yes, I think we are going to see the Callahan offense. I just don't think we see the entire playbook of passing arsenal in week one. The Chicago secondary will be, I mean, it's a tough secondary to face week one. And again, we'll see everything on display that we haven't seen on a daily basis for this team in a couple of months. And that includes offensive line, wide receivers, but also on defense. This team got off to such a slow start last year when it came to three and outs. They need to stay on the field, and they do that by Levis staying patient.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday on Willie and D-Maze. Hutton, thanks for joining us.
Hey, real quick, yes. You guys feel confident about this matchup?
Honestly, I do. Really? I feel that, you know, if you're going to catch Caleb Williams in Chicago, it's best, like you said, to catch him at the beginning of the season. Because
I think so.
A rookie quarterback playing against an aggressive play caller, and not just recklessly aggressive, but aggressive in ways that you think you have something, but you really don't. I would rather go against a rookie quarterback the first game than, say, game 9 or 10 when they played a bunch of football and they know how to truly read the defenses that are in front of them.
Yeah, history is not on Caleb Williams' side, and I haven't made my official projection for this game yet, but I am getting some of those. I'm getting the Titans in Cleveland to open the season a few years ago vibes. There was a lot of hype. It's a different situation, of course, but there was a lot of hype around those Browns with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham, and the Titans just took them to the woodshed. And for some reason, there's part of me that wonders if that could happen. Maybe not a blowout to that extent, but a decisive win. But maybe
I don't see the beatdown. This is a talented team. These teams are very similar. They got some new play callers there for the team, I'm saying, in Chicago as well. Very, very similar in kind of the storylines in all of this, except for the head coach. So, I'm eager to see it. I'm taking the points. I think it's a close game. But if I'm picking the Titans later this week, I'm not picking a blowout like we saw in Cleveland. I'm taking more of a reserved approach, but I absolutely think the Titans can go on the road and get a win. I think they can get off to a hot start, by the way. You just know my reservations about the injury situations and how they don't have enough guys to just plug and play. They'll be playing musical chairs, especially on the O-line.
Well, if the Titans win by 30, I'll pat myself on the back. I don't think that's going to happen, though, but I just get...
If they win by 30, someone's got to be Delanie Walker in the locker room and say, we are who they thought they were. They are who we thought they were.
Hutton, thanks as always.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
Yep, you too.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us, as he always does on Wednesdays. Willie will join us after the break. Willie and D-Mace, Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, and Willie Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.